Here we are here in the time of the violet. It's on page 35 in the edition, the standard editions that we have. And we are Mamshich now, we are in Perek Beis. We are in Perek Beis, and it's the eighth Midah in the second series of the Hanhogis and the Midahs. And the time of the verse starts out here in the Midah HaShviis, in the seventh Midah. Okay, it's page 35. He says, Ponov tihieno me'iro is tomit. He says, a person's face should always shine. It means that part of the hanhoge of the person, part of the proper thing is that a yid is supposed to practice, it's not just what he does, but his appearance. The appearance, the message that one's face, the expression that a person conveys, and what kind of a message it sends. So pono tiyeno mi'iro is tomid v'yikabel kol odom b'sefer ponim yofis. A person should receive all people b'sefer ponim yofis with a cheerful attitude, with happiness. Many times people do things because they're forced to do it, but the beneficiary, he realizes and he feels that it's really not done with a full heart. The idea is that a person should be mekabel kol odom, it should be done b'sefer ponim yofis with a happy attitude, with a cheerful attitude. Shekein again, and again, the reason always is for the same reason. Because all the same reason is because we, our behavior, is supposed to follow the drachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and therefore, Shekein b'keser el yoinemar, and therefore regarding to the upper crown, that's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says in Mishle, it says, Be'er p'nei melech chayim. This is an example, a moshel. As it were, if we would be able to see, if we would be allowed to see, we would be capable of seeing the shine off the face of the king, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's chayim. It's something that brings about life. It's an expression. It's an expression that brings so much positive. Be'er p'nei melech is chayim. Ve'ein shum oidem v'din nichnas shem klal. And the same way that we don't have any real flush of anger or real strict judgment going way up high into the most inner chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll soon see, kach in the same way we also, or ponov lo yeshune. The face of a person, the face and the shine of a person should never change. A person should always have a cheerful attitude. Maybe you had a bad day today. Maybe it wasn't so great today. Maybe the experiences that you had behind the scenes were something that you're not in the best mood. But when you are looking or you are dealing with other people, they don't have to be at the brunt or at the receiving end of your bad day. Bad day you had, that's for yourself. But that's not something that you share. You share other things with other people. You don't share your bad mood with other people. And that's why he says that the yorponov of a person lo yishune. The shine of the countenance of a person's face should never change. And anyone who looks at your face, the message that one should read off your face should be one of simcha, of joy, and cheerfulness. And no siba, no factor should really distract him from this at all. So here we see, number one, as he says, that regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, he says, Aloshin, Ein Shum Oidem Vidin. There's no real inyan of sadness, there's no real inyan. Ein Shum Oidem Vidin, Nichne Shom Klau. So again, it means that a person should be really in a matzav shel simcha, should have a sefer ponim yofis, and even though inside maybe there is tsar, however, outside, the appearance of tsar should not show up. And that's very interesting to point out because when we're trying to compare the behavior of man, the behavior of a person, concerning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not too long ago, Masechet Chagiga, which is the previous Masechta, Masechet Chagiga Daf Hei, the Gemara tells us, and brings down a posik in Yirmiyah. The posik in Yirmiyah says, actually there's a stira, there's a contradiction, because one posik says, B'mistarem tifke nafshi. It says, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Novi expresses, B'mistarem in my inner chamber, on the inside, in the inside, tifke nafshi, my soul cries. It says, mipne geva, because of your arrogance, because of your haughtiness, because of your gaiva. And the Gemara asks a simple question. Umi ike bechiyah kame kutsu baruchu? Is there really such a thing? Is there really such a thing of bechiyah, of crying before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? After all, what Papa says, Eina tziva slipna HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such concept, no such thing of being sad. The idea of sad. There's no such thing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar is the posik. We say, Hoyd v'hodo lefonov, Oiz v'chedvo bimkoyme. We say in the davening in Hoydu. Oiz v'chedvo bimkoyme, which means that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Oiz v'chedvo. There's power and strength and joy. Oiz v'chedvo bimkoyme. Certainly there's no room for bechia. So how do we understand the other posik that says, b'mistorim tifkenafshi? The Gemara says, loy kashe. One is in the inner chambers and one is in the outer chambers. The difference of interpretation is between Rashi and Ben Chananel. But Rashi learns Pshat, Rashi says, he says, in the inside, way inside, it's possibly Bechia. Bechia is an expression, of course, these are human emotions, but in the way that we are able to understand it, it means when a Keshboch, as it were, is upset by the way the Hanhogis Oilon, the world is not conducting itself in the way that the divine plan was. Because God created the world for positive reasons, so there is bechia, as it were, way deep down. However, bebote beroy, in the outer chamber, is like a bechia. So what do you see from here? That actually there are the two. We have these two contrasts. There is bechia and there's not bechia. Deep inside, way deep inside, there might be bechia, so to speak. Because God finds a reason not to be very happy with the matzav of the world, but on the outside, in the bote broi, in the outer chambers, there is no bechia. There's only joy. Lefizeh, we can understand very well what the Talmud Dvar is teaching us. We also, in our own private lives, have to follow Bederach Hashem. It's very possible that deep inside there is bechia. We have reasons really not to be that happy. Maybe we have reasons why, in fact, we don't see a reason to be happy, to be joyful. But you know what? That's the bote gevoye, that's in the inside. But the bote beroi on the outside, on the face, and the expression, that which is revealed to the outside world, there the bechia should not exist. But in the face of the world, when you're facing the world, and your interrelationships with other people, it should give off the shine of simcha. That's what he means to say, is that the face of the person should always be the expression of joy. No matter how you feel inside, you don't have to share that with other people. I said many times, Rav Huttner used to say, he says like this, he says, you know, a person has a heart, then a person has a face. So he said, the heart of a person, he says, is Rishus HaYochid, but your face is Rishus HaRabin. So the heart, that's Rishus HaYochid, that's private. You know, you can feel whatever you want. It's yours. It's private. But your face is not private. Your face is Rishus HaRabin. Because the attitude and the expressions, that really does not affect only yourself, that affects other people as well. So you have an achrayus in terms of what type of an appearance, what type of attitude, you have achrayus to other people as well. It's your face, but it's not true. It's a Rishus HaRabin. It is something that really affects other people as well. And therefore it behooves the proper manner of behavior. And this is what we're learning out. That ponot tehiyano, again the opening lines of the Midah HaShviyas, ponot tehiyano, that the face of a person should be miyirois. That he should always have this shine, the shine of happiness, the shine of goodness should be reflected there. And now we go further, let's take a look at the Midah HaShminis, which is the eighth Midah. And the eighth midah here, again, he talks about piv, regarding the person's mouth. And here again, regarding the person's mouth, he says as follows. Regarding the person's mouth, first of all, lo yoytzi elo toivo. One's mouth should not really express only that which is good. One's mouth, what comes out of your mouth, should be things only that which is good. The gizras amorov toiro. And in fact, he says, the toichen and the pnimius of one's message should be words of Torah, should be really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. V'hafokas rotzen toiv tomit. And should always be an expression of goodwill. One should not use his mouth to cause negativity in the eyes of other people, to impose negativity on other people, to cause other people unhappiness. The mouth of the person, l'yoytze l'toiva, should only express that which is good. V'l'yoytze mipiv dover megunah. And one should therefore not bring out of his mouth things that are inappropriate, things that are despicable, v'loy klolo, nor any words of curses. A curse should not come out of the mouth of a yid. V'loy reigiz v'kas klal. Again here, should be no rage nor anger. Something that we spoke about a lot. In the last few shiur, we spoke about the mid of kas. And here again he reiterates it. The mid of kas. shouldn't come out of his mouth. These are not types of words. This is not what the mouth was given for. So words of rage, words of fury, words of anger. And v'loy dvarim b'telem, or stam narishkeiten, should not escape his mouth. It means even if what the words that you're saying, it's not dvarim asurim. Even if you're not really speaking lashon hara, you're not speaking things that is really awesome to speak. But if it's really, it's a waste of time, it's dvarim b'telem. There's nothing positive in it. There's no redeeming value. That doesn't belong in the mouth either. That's called dvarim b'telem. V'yedoyme le'oysay ha'peho elyoin. And therefore, rather, the mouth of a person should really resemble, as it were, the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'einoi nistam klal. The mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always, always brings positive. It's never sealed. V'lo yimna toiv. And never refrains really from speaking good tomid. Always. V'lochein tzorech shlo yechshem lidaber toivo al hakoil. And therefore a person has to be careful and to see that to use, make sure that the mouth isn't wasted. And therefore his mouth should not be silenced. Yechshe means silenced. His mouth should not be silenced from speaking toivo al hakoil about anything. V'lochein mipiv toivo brocha tomid. What comes out of his mouth is things that bring good words, blessing, bracha, certainly not klal, as he pointed out, certainly not words of anger, and also not dvarim b'telem. So again, so these are actually, as we had now from the beginning of Perek Beis, what we had is here now, this is the eight midos, the various eight midos again, and therefore he concludes regarding these eight midos, and he says that they want you to realize that hare elu shmoyne midos toivos, that these again are very, these are eight good qualities. The kulon tachas, he says, degel hanova. And if you want to know how a person is able to acquire these eight or any of the eight midos, it basically fall under the umbrella of hanova. You need humility. If you don't have humility, a person who is arrogant will not be able to succeed in acquiring any of these eight midos. You will be angry. You will not be able to show and to be able to have feelings for other people. Person is concerned with himself. Person is arrogant. Doesn't really care what other people feel or how they perceive you. What he's interested is about himself. And therefore, in order to be able to succeed and to acquire these midos toivos, these particular eight, that's what he says, v'kulon tachas degel hanova. And we'll explain soon a little bit more in detail. All of these eight midos are under the umbrella of humility. Shekulon lamalo bekeser be'ivor melyoinim. And again, and all of these midos again correspond, as it were, to the upper world, means to the anhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, being that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks from you, the same things that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so ube'es, she'yirtzo ha'odom lehiskarev lamalo. Therefore, there's a prerequisite. If a person wants to succeed a career in attaining spirituality, if a person wants to be matlich and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only if you are b'halachta b'drochov. A person who does not follow in the ways of Hashem cannot in no way come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, as he points out. If you want to be miskarav lamalo lehidama is elof. If a person really wants to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to emulate Kadosh Baruch Hu, because there's also benefit to us as well. Because the way that we act, as we know, we said many, many times, that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to us. Liftoyach mekoy roysov al atachtoinim. If we in fact want to open the upper sources, there's so much in Shemayim that Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to give. There's so many treasure troves of Hashpoyes Toivis that Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to be a Mashpia in this world. If we want to open it, to tap into those sources, it depends how we ourselves act and how we behave. Tzorech shiishtaleim bishnei prokim elu. Therefore it's important that a person basically perfects himself, right, in these midos that were discussed, basically in these prokim. So again, so the Talmud Devar here in these last two midas we discussed, the midah hashviyas and the midah hashminis, he talks about layoytzi mipiv. He says dover meguna. He says one's mouth piv layoytzi elo. He says toiva. He talks about also the gizras amor of toire. It should be divrei toire. As a matter of fact, the goyin says a mishle. The goyin says a mishle. Perik yud. The posik says pi tzadik. It says Yonuv Chochmo. The mouth of a tzaddik speaks wisdom. Says the goyin hapeh shel tzaddik tomid medaber chochmos. The mouth of a tzaddik always speaks words of wisdom. It's not something for nothing. When you hear the words of a tzaddik, you come away with some information. There's something that you learn. There's something that you gain. Even how does the Gemara say, Sichas Chilin Shel Tamid HaChacham and Tzrichin Limud. Even the Sichas Chum. The average type of speech, the normal everyday-to-day speech, when Tamid HaChacham speak, it's not Stam. But rather there's something that can be learned out of it. And even if on the surface, you don't seem to realize he's doing the same thing that we're doing. The fact is when Tamid HaChacham speak, there's something there that you can learn out of it. Maybe you learn from the phraseology. Maybe you learn how they say it. Maybe you learn from the tone of voice what's being said. There's so many things that a person can observe when Talmid HaChacham speak that it's Tzricha Limud. And therefore the Goyen says that the words of a tzaddik, what comes out of his mouth, is a kimayin haneveya. It's like a bubbling spring, like a well that's alive. Continuously alive, and you always fresh water coming from beneath the ground. The Eina Pesach Loilam says it never stops. So that's the idea. That's what the Talmud Devarim really is referring to when he says that Piv Layoitzi, he says, Elo Toivo Vigizras Amor of Torah, and his mouth should really speak, should always speak words of Torah, whenever possible, of course. Now, another thing, when he points out that a person should be careful not to be Moitzi Mipiv Dovre Megune, to make sure not to say something which is inappropriate, Veloy Klolo. Now, he realizes it's a very, very serious situation when a person uses his mouth. And you say something which can be perceived as a klola, or something which borders on klola, and certainly not to actually say a klola. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Nun Vov, as well as the Gemara Makis Daf Yud Aleph, that kilalas chocham afila bechinem hibo. That when a curse comes out of the mouth of a chocham, even if it's al tanai, even if he made it conditional, the fact that the curse came out of his mouth, it takes effect. Where do we find that? We find also by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu did not know that Rochel, that she had the trophim, that she had stolen the Avodah Zarah from her father, Lavan. Yaakov Avinu says, right? Im, he says, Elohecha, whoever, the one that has your God. Yaakov Avinu gave a klola. Of course, had he known, his kavanah never was that this klola should affect his own wife, Rachel. But nevertheless, the fact that it came out of his mouth, it took effect. And the Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman explains it in Koyi Vitzaris, and one of the Mekoyimis, he explains it, he says, you know why? Why is it so? After all, the Chacham didn't mean it that way. So why is it that the words of a chacham, once it's come out of his mouth, why does it take effect? Why is it so? So B'chonah says, because the words of a tzaddik, or the words of a chacham, is invested with an independent power, which means, the person, let's say, has a sharp knife in his hand, and by accident you drop it, the knife falls, and it's going to cut in the place where it's going to fall. Even you had no kavan altogether. Why? Because it's a metzias. Because that is inherent, that is the nature of a knife. The nature of the knife is that it cuts. So where it's going to fall, regardless of your kavan or not, it's going to cause the damage. He says, the mouth, he says, of a chokham of a tzaddik is like a weapon. Because Baruch Hu gave it power, gave it koyach. Whether he had kavan or not, it's like dropping the axe. The axe will chop. The axe will cut in the place where it falls. That is the koyach hadibur. That is the amazing, amazing power that we find in the mouth. As a matter of fact, there's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer regarding an issue about where a baby was born. And a baby was born, and they noticed right away, the doctors noticed that the baby is involved with some very serious type of a sickness. And as a result, of course, they had to delay the bris and so on, and hoping and waiting until the baby gets better to be able to do the bris. In the meantime, unfortunately, the baby did not make it, and the baby passed away. The Chassam Sofer writes there in the tshuva, he says, I'm not surprised. Why? Because during the sickness, during the illness of the baby, people who heard about it, and they heard what kind of a sickness it is, they said, Oy Nebuchadnezzar, he needs a big nest to come through it. Chassam Sofer, the words of the people, they sentenced him. It's incredible. As if to say, had people not uttered out of their mouth the negative, right? The negative ideas that they believe regarding this particular situation, possibly the baby would have made it. So Sofer says, I'm not surprised, because people uttered, they spoke out of turn. They used their mouth to saying these words of negativity. In a sense, it's sort of like a klola. Of course, they never meant a klola. Chas v'sholem, who meant a klola? Didn't make it that way. But the fact that this is the word that they said, this baby is not going to make it, or this baby can't make it, this baby needs a miracle to make it. These words itself was able to be makaris, the ultimate sorrow, that which has happened. This is very consistent with what the Gemara says, that the words and the klola of a person should not be taken lightly. And the same way that we say that the bracha, even of a simple person, right, should be appreciated. Altihi berchas hedyit kala b'necho. The flip side is also true, the Gemara says. The klol of a hedyit. Someone curses, you know. You say, his clothes don't mean anything. Who is he? He's a nothing. He may be a nothing. But nevertheless, the klol, sometimes has power. Even a klol of a hedyit, not to be taken lightly. One should always be careful to see with one whom associates, if that person has a tendency of throwing curses around. To be very careful. Don't say, he's a nothing. His words don't mean anything. It's not like that. The words of a person carry tremendous, tremendous power, tremendous koyach. And there's something very interesting, and that is, in fact, you know, that the first Mishnah of the Kama, we talked about it, says, Arbo Ovesh Nezikin. Means there's four different types of Nezikin where one's property could cause damage to others, either one's ox or a fire and so on and so forth. And one is chayef to pay. Different halachas, different situations. But it says, Arbo Ovesh Nezikin. Many times in different Mishnahs, as Tosfos points out, when the Mishnah gives us a number, it adds or concludes with the word hein. Like, Arbo Rosh Hashanim hein. There are four Rosh Hashanahs. It doesn't say stam, there are four Rosh Hashanahs. Arbo Rosh Hashanahs hein. And here it does not say, Arbo Ovos Nezikin hein. The word hein is left out. And Tosfos has a lot of trouble, and Tosfos says, sometimes yes, sometimes no. In other words, there's no real explanation. It's a style. It's a style of writing. Sometimes the Mishnah will conclude with the word hein. They are, right? And sometimes the Mishnah doesn't bother. Arbo Rosh Hashanim hein. It says hein, but no particular reason. Because nothing wrong if it says, and there's nothing wrong if it doesn't say. Comes the Chassam Sofer, I have to tell you. In the Chiddush Chassam Sofer in Bavei Kama Daf Beis. And Chassam Sofer brings something incredible, unbelievable from the Rama Mepanu. Rama Mepanu, one of the great Mekubalim, who lived 400 years. From the Italian Bala Mekubalim, Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah, who wrote the Sefer called Asorah Mamoris. By the way, beginning when we started the Shurim and Torah Devar, we pointed out that Rama Mepanu was very, very also strong addiction he had to the Torah Devar, and he paid a lot of money to be able to get Kizveyad from the Torah Devar, from the Almona. When the Ramak died, passed away, so he paid a lot of money. He was a wealthy man, in addition to his godless betayin and everything, but he was a wealthy man. And he paid a lot of money, an exorbitant amount of money, to be able to get the Kizveyad from the Almona of the Ramak of the Torah Devar. In any case, so he brings down the Chassam Sofer from the Rama Mepanu. He says, we're talking here about Nezikin. Talking about Nezikin, causing damage. The Chachomim were careful how they write, even writing, when they talk about Nezikin, they talk about damage. They did not want to say, Arbo Ovos Nezikin Hein, we don't want to give it a Metzias. By saying Hein, it means they are, they exist. We're giving it a Havaya. And the Chachomim were very particular in how they write when it comes to the area of Nezikim, not to express it in a way that gives it a metzias. By writing the word hein, you are saying that they exist. Like this, it's only a theory. Above is Nezikim. There are four types of Nezikim. There's something we can study. But we don't say the word hein. Hein means that they are, as if we are breathing some life into them, making them exist, making them a metzias. At kedei kach, as the Chassam Sofer brings from the Rama Mepanu, to be careful what comes out of our mouths. Even writing, to be careful how we write. And certainly if you write above the Zikin Hein, your Kavana has nothing to do with one of giving it a Metzias. Your Kavana is far, far, have no idea. This is not your Kavana at all, by far. No stretch of the imagination. But nevertheless, but this is the Metzias. When you're writing the word Hein, this is something that is reflected in the words of Hein. Above the Zikin Hein, we don't want to give it a Metzias, and we don't write the word Hein. Just to go further, there's one more thing. There's a sefer that was printed from Ksaviad a number of years ago by Mechon Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim, very Choshev Institute, you know, that brings out a lot of svarim, Mochi Lor, many, many Choshev svarim. It's a sefer that it's called Meshivas Nofesh, and the Mechaber is a person by the name of Rabbi Yochanan Luria, one of the great Chachma Ashkenaz. Rabbi Yochanan Luria, if you just want to have an idea, the Marshal himself, you know, the Marshal Maram, this is one Tekufa, again, the 1600s. Rabbi Yochanan Luria was a brother to the Marshal's grandfather. So he's generations even before the Marshal, Rabbi Yochanan Luria. So they found an old Ksaviad for Rabbi Yochanan Luria, so it goes back earlier than the 1600s, called Sefer Meshivas Nofesh. And I just want to read you two lines. In Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah, of course, deals with all types of civil matters, dinim ominis, And right in the opening, a parsha Mishpatim, it says, "Kisik neved ivri." If you buy an neved ivri, and there's a whole series of halachas how to deal with it. It says kisikne, and I know kisikne grammatically. Kisikne means you will buy. Kisikne, you will buy. Okay. If you continue on into the various different types of damages that man can inflict upon others, you have, for example, it says ki yichre ishboyer. If a man will dig, it doesn't say if you will dig. It doesn't say ki tichre, or it says ki yinoshu anoshim, ki yinotsu anoshim yardov. Two people will fight. It doesn't say you will fight with someone, even though that is part of the message. Why is it that in the beginning kisikne vedivri, it says kisikne, first person says you will buy, and yet regarding all the other areas of damage, it speaks in second person, third person, ki yinotsu anoshim, ki yichre ishboyer. And damages happen and so on and so forth. Someone gives deposits his kalim to someone to watch, and then accidents happen. It doesn't say that you will give. It says someone will give. So Rabbi Yochanan Lurie as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medagdek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very careful. Ledaber beloshin noichach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only speaks directly bedvarim she'ein peronius l'yodom. Only when there is no punishment, when there's no tzar involved in the message, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks directly. Kisik and Eved Ivri. Kisik and Eved Ivri. You'll buy an Eved Ivri. He'll say, you will buy an Eved Ivri. If you will buy an Eved Ivri, so you're buying an Eved Ivri. There's no peronius on your end of it. So you're buying an Eved Ivri. So you can buy. You. Kisikne. Avol. Call peronius. But when it's dealing with punishment, it's dealing with tzar. Medabra benister. Then the pasuk speaks benister, not directly. It speaks indirectly. Why? Ki bris kerusa l'sfasayim. Because we know as there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, bris kerusa l'sfasayim, which is a memory that the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches, that there is a bris that Kosh Baruch Hu was kairis for the lips, that whatever a person utters that comes out of his mouth, it could take effect. But Alkein says the Sefer here, Meshivas Nofesh, Yil Moed Odom, a person should learn from this, Shaloi lahazkir lachaveroi shum peronius benoichich directly afila al tanai. This is what we see here. This is the Godel, you see, who lived over 400 years ago. When you say something that's negative, make sure you don't point to a person. If this would happen to you, don't say to you. Give a marshal as an example, in general. If this would happen to someone, but you don't direct inyonim peronius directly to someone, because it could have much greater effect than you could ever imagine. Bris krusal is fasayim. And that again, this is what the Torah Medvayer here is telling us. This is what the Torah Medvayer is alerting us, and he says that mipiv lo yotzis, he says later, he says v'loy klola. The one should be careful not to bring any inyan of klola out of his mouth. And then he continued on later, and also he said also v'loy roigiz v'kas klal. He said no roigiz, no anger, right, and no kas whatsoever. And he says v'loy dvorim b'talim. It's interesting to point out when he says v'loy roigiz v'kas klal, he by kas he says klal, absolutely not. Do you see that? V'loy roigiz v'kas klal. Loshen Rambam. Loshen Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchis Deis, the Rambam says, Osir loch lichois afile bedover sheroyu lichois olov. Rambam says even if the situation is something that it deserves anger. You know, it's a situation that it deserves anger, but it's also for you to be angry. Also for you to be angry. The Sefer Reishis Chochma, who is the Talmud of the Ramak, the Reishis Chochma, the great Baal Mekubal. So he writes in Shar HaNova, he writes, Peri Gimel, he writes, because of HaRav Yitzchok de Menakoi. He says, Rav Yitzchok of Akoi, Olav HaSholem wrote, Sheshoma, he heard, Mipi Ram Talmidoi Shel HaRav Yosef Gatikilya. Rav Yosef Gatikilya was in the great Baal Mekubal. So he brings down here the Reishis Chochma, B'shem Eid Reb Yitzchok de Menakoi. Reb Yitzchok de Menakoi brings a message from a person who was a Talmud of Reb Yosef Gatikalia. Matzonu Kosov B'Sifrei HaMekubalim. We found written in the Sfarim of the Mekubalim, Asher Zochu, that there was Zoche Al Derech HaEmes She'echot Mahatikunim HaGedoilim. He says, one of the greatest tikkunim, when a person is trying to find a way to be misakin his neshama. There's so many different things. Somebody says maybe you should fast. Somebody says maybe be careful in this particular mitzvah. Maybe be careful refraining from this avera. Which area, more than anything, serves of the Tikkunim HaGdolim. This is written here in the Sefer Reishis Chochma from people who are interested, to be misakin their neshama. He writes, Sheyiyu minhu aluvim, to be people who are tolerant, and even if someone is at the other end of embarrassment, don't respond, certainly not with anger. And he writes even further, Vafila me'ishtoi b'nei beisoi, that even one's family, ishtoi b'nei beisoi, he says, which of course, he is not afraid of his wife, he's not afraid of his b'nei bayis, so certainly he feels now he is the balabos, as we pointed out at the end of last week's year. But here's where the test is. Because dafka in a place where you have the power and you have the ability to use all the anger and all the koyach, here's where the test, a person should not be noig that way. And let's say it's necessary sometimes to utilize the midah of anger, as it were, because you see that the b'nei bayis are doing something wrong. And maybe the only way, they're not listening, and maybe the only way to really get the message out is through kas. Look what he says. So this is the etzer. The mitzarech, he says, la'aloiv is b'nei beisoi. And if it's necessary to really sort of cause embarrassment to the b'nei bayis, la'hasiram mederech hamoves, he says, asher oivrim al ritzoyne shel mokoyim, he says, you know what you do? He says, do it in a way, he says, sheloi yichois, which means you're not really angry, you're only showing anger. Aval tomid dir liboy sameach v'dovik, he says, bakoil. So he says, really, anger should only be on the outside, but not really on the inside. The inside, really, a person should not allow himself to lose control. Sometimes your actions mechanically may have to show, something like a father shows an angry face at a child. Deep inside, he really has all the love, but he wants to show that stern face so the kid knows that he means business. But deep down, really, he should not have that. So we have that. Akoponim, this is all part of the Hanhogis. It's all part of the Hanhogis, again, of these last midas that he's talking about over here. And finally, if you notice that he says the lotion that he said over here, he said, Tzorach ledaber toiva al hakoil. A person should speak good about everything. In other words, you know what he's saying? It's not enough that a person refrains, you know, from speaking things that are no good. In the same way that there's a mitzvah to refrain from speaking things that are not no good, there's a mitzvah to speak about things that's good. In other words, the derech haTorah is not that someone should stam be a shaskin, to be someone who's quiet, who doesn't talk. That's not. There's so many good things that a person is able to accomplish and to achieve by using one's mouth in a positive way. You can teach Torah, you can give advice, so many acts of chesed can be done with the mouth. So in the same way that a person, right, is mechuyev to abstain from speaking bad things, but that does not mean they keep his mouth quiet. He doesn't say anything. Faket. That's why he says, Tzorach ledaber toivo. It's not the idea is, okay, so just keep quiet all day. Don't say anything. No. Tzorach ledaber toivo. Use your mouth. But use your mouth for speaking, he says, the right things. This is the habit that a person is supposed to develop within himself, to use his mouth, that the things that come out of his mouth are positive in yonim. That is the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem gave you a mouth. Hashem gave you a koyach hadibur. The Ratzon Hashem is that you use the koyach hadibur, but you use it in the right way. Use it al pi aloche. Use it in the way that you're mekayim and you are accomplishing your hashpia to the Ratzon Hashem. Is Yidua, the Chofetz Chaim, who is more nizer? Right? Who is more careful in the yin of Shmiras Haloshen than the Chofetz Chaim himself? Chofetz Chaim, who is the probably in the highest level in the area of Shmiras Haloshen, Chofetz Chaim was bechlal, not a shaskin, was not a person who was quiet. Chofetz Chaim talked all day. But he spoke up Yalocha. He used his mouth teaching Torah, he used his mouth giving Musar all day. In every area that he saw that needs tikkun, needs chid, whether it was Shmir Shabbos. There's so many things that we're just not so much aware of, or it's not so meforsim, the area of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim is known Chofetz Chaim for the Shmir Saloshim. That's just one of many, many things. Look in the others for him, Ahavas Chesed. Look at the others for him, where all of the halachas that he wrote for the soldiers who were drafted into the army. How do they deal with Shabbos? How do they deal with Kashrus? When they can't, they can't. So how do they minimize the situation? What can they do? What can they not do? In every area of one's life, there's so many different as it branches out. Chofetz Chaim was talking all day. He was not a shaskin. What about Shemiras Haloshen? Of course Shemiras Haloshen. Shemiras Haloshen does not mean keep quiet. Shemiras Haloshen means that what? Speak. But speak in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to speak. Someone used to say once the Chofetz Chaim says, he says, since you wrote the Chofetz Chaim, wrote a sefer, he says, now no one is able to say anything anymore. So instead, just the opposite, he said. Before you knew the halachas, then you couldn't say anything. Now you know the halachas, now you know what you're allowed to say. Just the opposite. Now that you have the sefer, now you can say. Because when there was no sefer and you didn't know the halachas, then you were not allowed to speak. Then you couldn't say anything. Now that the sefer is written, And now you know what you are allowed to say? Say it. Do. Use your mouth for the right things in order to promote, of course, to promote Ahavas Hashem. So finally, as he says, he concludes, that all of these eight midas that were discussed, Shemayne midas toivas, he says, these are all under Degel Hanova. These are all under the umbrella of Hanova, because the idea is, if the Talmud Devar is telling you, use your mouth to promote goodwill. Use your mouth, he says, for Hatova. Use your mouth, as he says, Hafokas Rotzoin, which means to promote goodwill among people. The extent that you're able to promote goodwill among other people, the extent that you're able to be margish, the extent you're able to feel the pain of others, is only to the extent that you are mevatel your I, ich, who I am. Because the more ich, the more I am, there's less room for others to share within your heart. The person who should be able to bring it within themselves, to be margish, to experience the pain of others, it's toloi in to be mevatel his own onoichi. The more that a person is able to be mevatel his own onoichi, that is the extent that he'll be matlich to be margish, the tzar of others. The more he's consumed with himself, the more that his focus is only on himself, it's always the I, it's on the enoichi, then the less, of course, he's going to be capable of experiencing bimargish in the tzar of others. But you remember the maisa we said from the Balatanya? Balatanya came into his Rebbe as the Talmud of the Magid. And one night he came, he had a difficulty in a piece of Gemara in some area, and he had a difficult question, important question that he had to ask his Rebbe, and he knocks on the door, and the Rebbe Rebbe, the Magid, the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, he was the Magid, of course, and he asks, who's there? And Baal Tanya, he knew that the Rebbe recognized his voice, so he says, it is I. And he said again, who is there? And he said, it is I. Like that 3-4 times, he says, who is there? He said, it is I. Finally he comes in, and the Magid and the Rebbe says to him, you know, there's a bris tomorrow, he says, not far, he says, in a neighboring little town, and they possibly could use a minyan. He said this, so you know what, I'd like you to go in the morning, this and this is the place, and you go there, you'll see that the minyan, you're going to be the tenth, you're going to have to be mashal in the minyan. And so the next morning, Baal Tanya gets up, makes his way to that mokim, finds out where the house is, in fact, they were waiting for a tenth. And so, yeah, big simcha that there, all of a sudden the tenth person walked in, they did not know at all who he was, you know, that this was such a great person that he was. Baal Tanya, one of the greatest people, Kitzer, he's there, the bris takes place. You know, if he's there already, invite him for the Suda as well. So he sits there at the Suda. Turns out that towards the end of the Suda, when they were collecting the dishes and the silverware, they found out that a very choshev piece of silverware was missing. And the Balabais knew everybody, except this is the only person who didn't know. The Balatanya didn't know who he was. So right away, the eyes, he was accused. He says, you're the one. They went over to him, they said to him, listen, he says, we won't do anything. Just admit it. Just give it back. He says, we'll let you go. And he denied and says, I didn't do it. And they said, listen, we'll give you one more chance. And he says, no, he insists. He says, I didn't do it. So finally, they really began to beat him and to beat him. And he kept screaming and saying, I didn't do it, I didn't. Then they left him go. Then turns out that the maid, one of the waiters, saw what was going on. She had chalishas das and she had much regret. She was the one actually stole it. And she saw that how much trouble this innocent person was going through because of her. So she admitted it. And it turns, of course, that he was absolved. And he was accused falsely. He comes back to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe says, no, did you go to the bris? He says, yeah. He said, no, how was the experience? He says, terrible. He says, so what happened? He says, after that, I was accused of stealing the choshev piece of silver. And they kept beating me. Then what did you do? He said, I didn't admit it. I said, it was not I. He says, listen, when you knocked on the door, he says, the night before, and I asked who it was, and you said, it was I. There's no I. There's only one I. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Anoichi. It is I. Every Yid in Klal Yisrael is not consumed with his I. It's not about you. It's not about the I. A Yid is supposed to feel he's part of total picture of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, you said I. 5 times you said it is I. So for every time you said it is I, you have to say 5 times it is not I. Every time they hit you, said it is not I. This would be a tikkun, for other words. So this is actually what the Talmud Devar is telling us. That all of this, to be able to utilize one's words, to be able to direct his words, to be ledaber toiva, and to promote goodwill and so on and so forth, it's all under the umbrella of Anova. It's kedai to mention, and it's a very fascinating thing, The Medrash tells us that Omer Rav Huna, we find Begimel Mekoyim is three places Kwas Moshe Rabbeinu V'Nisalma Memeno Halocha. Three places Moshe Rabbeinu basically got angry, and as a result he forgot the din, forgot the halocha. Elohen, one was in the area of Shabbos when it came to the Mon. One was in the area of Shabbos, and the other was he got angry. One was Beklimatchus when it came to the idea had to do with Kasher and Kalim, right? And the other case was Ube Oinen. There was a Maisa when Nodav Aviyu died. The Bnei Aharon, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry because he thought that Aharon and his children did not carry out the halachas regarding the Karbonis properly. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and Bekitzur, he forgot the halacha. So the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu actually, when he saw that the Yidden did not comply with the halachas of the Mon, the halachas of the Mon was that no one should leave over. The fact that the Yidden, you know, they were concerned, maybe tomorrow no fresh Mon is going to fall. So they left over. So the Pasuk says, Vayesiru Anoshim Yemenu Ad Boiker. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. We gave you instructions. The Mon was supposed to be eaten up and nothing should be left over. So this is Vayiktsav Alei Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu got upset. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu forgot Hilchei Shabbos. He forgot to tell them Hilchei Shabbos, and so on and so forth. And the Gemara tells us, as a result of that, we find out that Kol HaMisyahir, that someone who actually has Gaiva, or says Kol HaKoyis, or someone gets angry, Chazal say, Chochmosoi Mistalekes Memenu. He loses his Chochmah. If one gets angry, he loses his chokmah. So B'chaim Shmulevich said a dover nifle. B'chaim Shmulevich says, you have to realize, when Chazal say that kas removes chokmah, that if someone gets angry, it's not just you have a punishment, you know, but if someone gets angry, he loses chokmah, the fact that he loses chokmah is not a punishment. He says, that is the metzias, he says. This is a metzias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that wisdom, he says, wisdom will not allow itself to be contained in a mokim where there's anger. How do you see that this is an inyan of teva? Because you cannot say that you lose chokhmah because that's the punishment for kas, because Moshe Rabbeinu was justified. In each and every area, he really was justified to get angry. The Yidin violated the Tzibur Hashem. The Yidin were not supposed to leave over from the Mon. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. Right? When it came to the mice of Midyan, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. The anger of Pashtus was justified. Why was it justified? Because Moshe Rabbeinu clearly told them that they have to wipe out the entire nation of Midian, and in fact they left over the women. Hachisim kol mekevo. And Moshe Rabbeinu forgets. Says the B'chaim, we see from here that this fact that chokhmosa mistalekes, that he loses chokhmah, that's not an oinish on the aver of kas, but that's an inyan of teva, which means kas burns chokhmah. Hear what he says. Kas burns chokhmah. Like somebody has chokhmah, you take a match and you light it. Kas actually burns chokhmah. These are two opposites, like Eish and Mayim. It's not a punishment that Mayim extinguishes Eish. It's a punishment. It's a Metzius. So he says this also. He says, Kas is something that burns Chochmah. And, interesting thing is, that Chazal tell us in Masechtas Gittin, the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav, it says, Kol Hamatil Eime Yisera Mitoch Beisoi, that if a person causes extra fear, that some people are so imposing, that they run a household, like the army. He's a general, and everybody else, you know, they are his subjects. So the Gemara says, somebody who is matil eime yesere, overly much, somebody who imposes extra pachad, extra fear in his house, it could cause the downfall of the bayis, soif hubo, Chazal say, sholesh averis, gilu arayis, shichas domim, chil shabbos, and so on. Chazal will give us examples, all the various things. And the question Mefarshim ask is, he says, why is it not mentioned? It says three things. What are the usual three things? Gil Arayis, Avodah Zorah, and Shvichas Domim. Here Chazal mentioned three things, but not Avodah Zorah. Chazal say that Eimer Yisera will cause Gil Arayis, Shvichas Domim, and Chilu Shabbos. Why is not mentioned Avodah Zorah? You know why? Because if somebody has Eimer Yisera, somebody has Kas, that itself is already Avodah Zorah. The Gemara is talking about what it will lead to. It will lead to Shvichas Domim. It will lead to Gil Arayis. It doesn't say it will lead to Avodah Zorah. You know why? Because Kas itself is Avodah Zorah. And the Tanya's Masbir. The Tanya's Masbir in Igeres HaKadosh in Perek Chof Hei, he says as follows. L'fi shebe'eis kaso, he says the Tanya. Because at the time when a person gets angry, nistalekes v'meno ha'amuna. Kas invariably, if you think about it, means it's lack of amuna. Why? Because ki ilu hoya mamin shebe'eis Hashem hoysa. If you believe that the situation that's taking place is really me'eis Hashem, lo'yehoya b'kas klal. So who is he angry at, he says. So being, he says, l'maisa, that this is me'eis Hashem, It means it's exerim and ashamayim that this thing should take place. So there's a lack of emunah. Lack of emunah invariably means there is avodah zarah here. So this again shows how far reaching is the inyan of kas. And by the way, lahaloche, the Tanya in his other sefer, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Tanya paskins there that even when it's negeya to a dvar mitzvah, dvar mitzvah is also not a heter for a person to lose himself and to get into anger. As he points out in Arachayim and Semekuf Nun Vov, he says, Afil dvar mitzvah loy huter, he says, Nira kekoyis. A person can give the impression as if he's in kas, but not actually to express feelings of kas, which really is, which comes out from within. I want to mention something, which is regarding when it comes to the machlekes of Koyrech. Regarding the machlekes of Koyrech, just to give you a hagdomeh, we're talking so much here about the inyan of kas, talking so much about prevention of kas. What is really the yetzer? I mean, it's sometimes like it's instinctive. It's really instinctive, the whole idea. How does one bechlal work on himself to control himself, to get to that madrega? That does not really lose his temper and really express his kas. So the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim in Shar HaKas says as follows. He says, Hashtike mevateles es hakas. First, keep quiet. Don't speak out of anger. When a person is in the matzav of anger, close your mouth. Vigami says, also koil nomuch, speaking in a lowly voice, in a low voice, mevatel hakas, the hepech of raising one's voice, speaking in a koil nomuch. Lachein yireh ha'odom, says the Orchis Tzadikim, a man should observe kishikasa misgabrolov when he sees that the anger is taking the best of him. Sheyishtoik or yedabra benachas. Whatever you do, either keep quiet or davki speak in a low tonal voice. V'lo yorim koiloi bekasoi, ki hamagbia koiloi bishas kasoi. Because when a person raises his voice, you know what happens? The raising of the voice itself spurs, and enrages and inflames the kas even more. He says. He also says yisoirer hakas, because that itself is going to be moir the kas. And in fact, if anybody learns the Geras Ramban, which is so full of musar, and it's not that big by the way, and it's so choshev, as Ramban writes to his son, the Geras Ramban, he writes to his son that every day that you read this letter, he says, you're going to find good fortune in your life. He says, wherever you're going to turn, he says, if you read this letter. But he meant to read this letter and let the messages sink in. This is the Geras Ramban that he wrote to his son when the Ramban, of course, when he left. And he left Spain to go to Eretz Yisrael and left behind his family. So he wrote that letter, Shema Beni, so on and so forth. So the Ramban writes as follows. The Ramban writes, Tisnaheg tomid ledaber kol dovarecho benachas. The Yisoida says that when you speak benachas, speak calmly. L'chol odom, u'becholeis, u'bozeh tinotzel menachas. Thereby you'll be able to be spared from anger. Shehi mide ro'o lahachti b'nei odom. This is a terrible mide. This caused people to sin. So this is basically, as we see, these are habits that a person is supposed to work on himself to become rogil in this type of behavior. So let me just tell you, last week we had a maisa from the Sefer Chassidim, but that was in one area. The Sefer Chassidim in another mokim says the following. It's an incredible maisa. We can understand it clearly. Maisa does not need much explanation. The Sefer Chassidim is in Simen Tov Reish Nun Hei, and basically he writes as follows. He writes, Maisa, he says, Beben Shekibed is Ovi B'Yoser. There's a son that was Mechabed his father, extremely. Omar Lo Yoviv, so the father says to him, this is part of something that we had, Ato Mechabdeni B'Chayoi, Techabdeni B'Moisi. The same way that you're Mechabed me during my lifetime, I'd like to be Mechabed me after I'm gone. So what am I asking from you? What I ask from you, whenever you get angry, ask for you one thing. Just sleep over it. Sleep over it one night. That's what I'm asking you. He says, and muster all strength that you have. He says that you should not speak. Wait until the next morning. Says the Sefer Chassidim the following story. After his father died, the son went on to business, so went out of the country, crossed the ocean, other side of the world. Unbeknownst to him, he did not know that he left his wife pregnant. He didn't know they had a pregnant wife. He did not know his wife was pregnant. It just turned out that he was held back He spent years away from home. When he comes back, finally he comes back to his hometown. Bobalilo comes back to his house during the night. And he goes up to the room. He goes to the room where his wife was there. Vishoma koiloi shel bocher, and he hears the voice of a bocher who is embracing her. So he sees his wife and a strange man, a strange person, that they are embracing. He got so full of anger, sholav charboi, he took out his sword, and he was ready to kill both. And that moment he remembered what his father said, whatever you do, wait till the next morning. V'nizkar, and he was reminded b'mitzvah soviv, the yeshiva, and returned the sword back. Shoma she'omra ishtoi. In the meantime, as he's listening by the door, he continues to listen, and he hears how the wife is saying to this bocher, and she's saying as follows. Yeshonim Rabbi, is it so many years that your father is not here? He said, had he known that he had left the son, he would have come home because he would have been so happy to see you and to marry you off. All of a sudden he finds out that that was his own son. So says the Sefer Chassidim, he says, when the husband heard that, he says, Baruch Hashem, he thanks the Rabbi Nishtoilam Sha'otza Kasi, because Baruch allowed me to be able to restrain my kas. Baruch Ovi, blessed be my father, Shitzivani, that gave me that savo, that left me those last words, Atzoyer Kasi Lailo Achas, Shloi Harakti Oysoch Vezbeni, he says to his wife. Otherwise, I was just ready, could have killed two people, my own wife, he says, and his own son. V'som Chusim Chagidoylo, says the Sefer Chassidim, and as a result, of course, they rejoiced in happiness. Two lives were saved. Think of it that way. Two lives were saved. But also, he says, when they had Achila, Vishtia, L'Cholom, they made a party, they made a simcha like a Suda Soidor. So that again is another example again of the idea of how much damage of course it could cause and so on and so forth. One of the Sfardish Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, and many of you may have heard of him, was a very choshev Talmid Chacham Gadol b'Yisrael. His name was Rabbi Tzion Abishol. Tzion Abishol was a big Talmid Chacham. There are Sforim to him in various Mesechtes also that from the shiurim that he had given, particularly the Choshev Yosef from Sechtes Yevamos, that is learned in yeshivas. Rabbi Tzion Abishol. Tzion Abishol says that he never believed, he says, when he saw what happened to a particular person, and the reaction of that person was in such a way that he felt, Rabbi Tzion saying that, and Rabbi Tzion says, was like superhuman. The name of that person was a Yiddish Sfardi, his name was Rav Tzadka Chutzin. Rav Tzadka Chutzin. Who was Rav Tzadka Chutzin? He said, Rav Tzadka Chutzin, said, was a moil. He said, but this particular situation was, he was a moil, but this was towards the later years of his life when this Rav Tzadka was already an elderly person. Quite an elderly person, but he still had the skill of mali. Still had the skill of being a moil. He was invited to do a bris. Everybody's familiar in Yerushalayim, there's in Talpiot, you know, a section in Yerushalayim. This Rav Tzadka lived quite far away, and the bris was supposed to be a Shabbos de Gebris, which meant that he's going to walk. He's going to walk from one end of Yerushalayim, mamish, literally, from one end of Yerushalayim to hours walking to the other end of Yerushalayim. And this Rav Tzadka, as every moil would do, on Erev Shabbos, you know, you'd get into a taxi or into a bus, and he would take all of his kelim, right, prepare it, and you bring it to the Mokem Hamila, to bring it to the place where the bris is supposed to take place. So he brings everything to prepare it. On Shabbos, he walks about over 2 hours, and he walks. And finally, after 2 hours of walking, an elderly person at that, finally when he comes there, they tell him, another moil malad the baby. Your services will not be needed. So in other words, not only they took away the mitzvah from him, they made this yid walk on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Tzion Abishol, when I met this Rav Tzadka, and I spoke to him, he says, Rav Tzadka said to me, believe me, he said, lo ka'asti klal al ze klal. He says, I did not have any anger whatsoever. So points out, but say, imagine, this man was already an elderly person. Walking 2 hours was for him, was meirige tirche. Tremendous tirche, he says. Nevertheless, he says, lo ka'as klal. Right, these are madregas, of course, which you see, these are goals, which is not impossible, but these are goals which, of course, if we work on them, they're not going to happen by themselves. But at least we know that there's something that to strive for, to find out some adregas to reach. Now, I want to tell you something. When he mentioned before the time of the virus, when he mentioned over here, he mentioned the Lashon that he says here, to be Mekabel, everybody be saved upon him your office. But you know what? We're going to leave that Nekuda. I'm just going to leave you because we have 2 minutes. So I'm going to leave you just with an incredible, incredible situation. And this was told by Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg. Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg is one of the young people today, has a lot of success in being a mashpia, a great mashpia in Eretz Yisrael. As a matter of fact, Shabbos afternoon by Shul Hashidus, as I'm told, there are hundreds of people who come there, and it's basically shmuzin of Divrei Hasidus. There's a lot of Yiddish and Hasidus, and has a tremendous way of giving over Divrei Hasidus with his Soiris, and many, many people have become very connected to him. As a matter of fact, when he comes to America, in the big, large bubble of this Medrash, 48th Street in Borough Park, it's filled up, really, from corner to corner with people listening to his Divrei Hasidus. So it's Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg. There's an article, by the way, for Gedalia Shor, because his father is Rav Moshe Zilberberg, who himself was a Rosh Yeshiva in Muncie. He, by the way, he made Aliyah, moved to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Moshe Zilberberg now. He's one of the big machers, by the way, on Shuvu. When Rapam founded Shuvu, so he followed immediately and became connected. It was an organization very much to his heart. So he really took it under his wing. And he also gave a lot of money, even though he didn't have any. But he managed also to give a lot of money, and also always was involved with that organization. Anyway, here's the Maaser Rabbi said, as Rav Tzvi Meyer, as he told it. He says that a number of years ago, he says, there was a unique manuscript, a portrait that came to light in the Cairo Museum of Antiquities. It's called the Cairo Geniza. Cairo Geniza, when this was discovered, is a tremendous treasure of Kizviyad. You have Kizviyad of the Rambam, literally. And we find out how life, you know, going back 1,000 years ago, of what it was like. We see nuschoyes of how they used to write ksubis. We see what the dowries were about. We see, by the way, the roles of men, the roles of women in society, and how the culture was. Just amazing pieces of knowledge and information that we glean from those periods. The Cairo Geniza. So they found a very rare manuscript, and the manuscript was basically, it was a previously unknown manuscript of one of the Rishonim. We didn't even know that it existed. Unknown manuscript from one of the Rishonim. And Mamela, the existence of that manuscript came to the attention of a particular Yid, we'll call him Reb Sholem. Came to the attention of the Yid Reb Sholem, and Reb Sholem, he made it his business that he's going to track down and he's going to publish it. Because Rav Sholem, by the way, this was his hobby. His hobby was, he was quite a well-to-do person, you can imagine, because these are very expensive. He went out of his way whenever there were manuscripts that needed to be published, if he was able to do it, if it was something to his liking that he figured was important, he would go ahead and do it. So Mamela Rav Sholem also, he tried to get it out of the museum, of the Cairo Museum. It's not a simple thing always to get out Kizviyad. Difficult thing. Sometimes you're Matzliach, sometimes you're not Matzliach. So he made many, many overtures to the Egyptians, and they were unresponsive. The difficulty getting out that Ksaviyad. He, Lamaise, was a determined type of a person. He was undeterred. If it didn't work now, he would try again and again and again. And he went to work. And Lamaise, what he did was, so he galvanized basically every source of pressure that he could bring to bear on the museum in order that they give him this manuscript. And finally, what he did was, he managed to lobby senators in Washington, members of parliament, and so on and so forth. Eventually, he gets it. So Reb Sholem, after all this situation, he gets it. They were prepared to listen, first of all. And he pointed out how important it was to the Jewish people. He said, this is priceless. To you? Okay. But what does it mean to you? To us? He said, this is mamish, this is a priceless situation. To them, it was worth, by the way, $750,000. For a Yid, there's no price, there's no limit. But for them, that's what they wanted for it. They wanted $750,000. $750,000 is... It's not chicken feed by any stretch of any imagination, by any standard of any person. Reb Sholem didn't finish. And in due course, Lamaisa, the money was paid, and the manuscript was delivered. Reb Tzvi Meyer goes on and he says the following. He says, finally, the manuscript was delivered, so you can imagine the simcha, so with great eagerness, so Reb Sholem, together with a team of experts that he gets together, they gathered around the manuscript as it was opened. Now they have an opportunity firsthand, really, to study it. So he has this team of experts, you know, people, mumchim, and they open it up. You can imagine, as they say, silence fell into the room to see exactly the reaction of this tremendous, tremendous simcha, tremendous occasion. And the first time in centuries, this is a manuscript that was not seen, and this is now for the first time in centuries, the words of the manuscript, holy words of the manuscript, is now going to be, and anyone who saw it was, had the schus of being able to make contact with his eyes on this ksav yad that was not available. Right then and then, as everybody was like bending over, you know, to take a look, so it turns out that one of the colleagues, he leaned forward to examine a certain line. Want to see a certain line. So one of the colleagues, he turns or bends over to examine a certain line, and in doing so, his coat, basically it brushes against, it was a large styrofoam cup, which held a full cup of hot coffee. You can finish the story. And the maise, the material of the coat barely grazed the cup. It was just enough to turn over the cup of hot coffee, and you can imagine it was enough. The entire contents of the cup, it spills over the manuscript, over the delicate manuscript. Within seconds, the entire manuscript became undecipherable. You couldn't read anything. A total mess. The man who spilled the coffee slumped into his chair with his head between his hands. He knows what they went through to get this manuscript. He knows the Mesiras Nefesh. He knew what it cost. Three quarters of $1 million. He knew all that. The room, you can imagine, was filled with mamish, with a deafening silence at the time. And Rav Shalom says, "Don't worry, we'll get you another cup of coffee." Rav Shalom said, "Why? Why did I go?" He says, "Why did I go to great lengths in order to acquire this manuscript? Because I believe it's the rotzah in Hashem to be able to spread Torah, to be able to bring light, to be able to bring this new light, this new ksav yad into the world. Now the Ratzon Hashem is not to be angry. So what is the difference? I'm still only doing the Ratzon Hashem. And that's what I had to do. And that Bez Hashem I was able to do. Yeratzon Rabbi Yisai, we should have a stickle shaychus with it."